Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one place to another and try to get to the point. Today's point, I have finished the 2D side-scroller, Metroidvania, Souls-like, punishing video game Blasphemous. And I want to talk to you about it. I have a series of thoughts about Blasphemous. The first, I'll hit you with the positive, and then I'll hit you with the negative right here at the end here. The positive stuff is, man, it's a real good game. It feels good. It's kind of the perfect level of, like, punishing difficult game with, like, Souls-like mechanics, but it has quality of life and kind of, like, kinder accessibility options that I guess are just, like, built into, like, difficulty options that are built into the game, that it's, like, really, it's singular in that the mechanic I'm thinking of is when, so you kill enemies and you get the Tears of Atonement, which are they're, like, the Souls equivalent of the game, and in, I think, almost every one of these games I've ever played, when you die, you lose them, and then you have to go on a corpse run to get them back, and then, you know, you will inevitably get a little frustrated and things don't go your way. You'll pick them up and then you'll die either two screens over or two screens before, and you got to do it all over again, and it's frustrating, especially because in some of these games that just means that the first batch of souls disappear. Looking at you, Elden Ring. But the tears remain with you. So you keep your upgrade currency when you die. And instead what happens is that when you die, you get hit with this kind of like debuff that's called guilt. And it means that the amount of tears that you can gain from another enemy is lower. And it also kind of creeps down your magic bar a little bit, like blocks it out so you can't, you know, go all the way up to the top with it. And I think that that's just like a much kinder way to do something like that. Like, punish me for sure for being bad at your video game, but the part where, you know, it stops me from progressing, like the skill tree, or, you know, in this game there's not leveling, there's just kind of sword upgrades or like donations to places and stuff, and like shops, but don't, like, I don't know, and I need to go back and remember if this is how it actually works, but that is one of the things that kind of made me bounce off of Hollow Knight, I remember, was that it was just like, it was animation priority and also just really punishing for, you know, to do those runs. And then the thing that gets me about Souls-like games that do that, where they just kind of remove all of your currency when you die, is that it's so deflating. Like, not only did I probably just, like, overextend myself and then get caught with my pants down and then die, I was probably two screens away from, like, the next bonfire equivalent, and I could have made it there if I would have played more cautiously, or, you know, what have you. And then it's just so absolutely deflating to lose 20,000 souls, which was about to be, like, had I made it to the next shrine, I would have been able to upgrade my sword to something that would have made it better. And now, instead of getting that, like, feel-good moment, I have to run all the way back and then probably die again in the process because I'm in sweaty mode. And it just, I don't know, I really appreciate that Blasphemous did that. The next part about Blasphemous that I really like is the world design. The enemy design is not, like, super complicated. The, like, story that is going on in there is, I kind of talked about this a little bit when I was mentioning Metroid a couple weeks ago, but it's enough of a kooky, crazy world that is really cool to inhabit and see what's going on. And, like, defeating the bosses rewards you with enough of, you know, this is what the miracle of this game is. And it's like still not good enough to where I could tell you what actually happened and like who these people are. Like, it's very Dark Souls in that kind of way, but it kind of like paints an overall tapestry of what the game is and kind of what the world is, so then you can, you know, it's mostly vibes based at this point. Like, hey, it's really fucked up Spanish Inquisition style, like Spanish Catholicism and all of that jazz. And man, it pulls it off. It's really good. It's like a super compelling world, in like a very interesting twist on the Dark Souls formula. Like I look at something like Lies of P compared to Bloodborne, which it's clearly inspired by, and I think that if you didn't tell someone that the main character in Lies of P was Pinocchio and that this was Bloodborne 2, I think that you could probably get away with it. And there's something about Blasphemous that is so, like, everything about that game is tailored to fit the world, and it's, like, really well made thematically. And I don't think that you could mistake this for a FromSoft game. Like, even, you know, take the 2D out of it. I think that it's, like, it's not like Castlevania, it's not like Metroid, it's not like the FromSoft games and, like, world design at all. It's, like, something that is truly, wholly unique, and it's, like, really neat to see it. And that means that the boss designs are wild. It's a good one. This is probably the first full, like, Metroidvania I have ever finished, because the world was so compelling, the combat was so good, and it did that beautiful thing where the more that you play it, obviously, the better you get at understanding the enemies, but also it does have the thing that I enjoy in most games, where at some point you kind of lean into your completionist tendencies, and that means that you are now powerful as hell, and you're beating the snot out of all of these people. I finished the last two bosses in the game, and I beat the first of the last two in three or four tries, and then the last boss I beat him on my second run, which I think some people are maybe would probably be disappointed in, but I love that shit. that's great. Let me defeat the final boss as quickly as possible, because it's kind of a momentum thing for me. Like I am cruising through this game now. Like I've reached the peak of the power curve, and now the game is rewarding me by letting me kind of snowball these bosses and all of this progress. And I think I love it when games get that right. It feels like good pacing to me. And it just, like, feels good as a player to, like, just absolutely stunt on the last boss and then just, like, absolutely crush them just because you can. And you made it this far, you know? Like, the whole story of that game is you defeating all of the corrupted saints and old people of this world that are, you know, corrupted by the miracle, and now you are here to purge it, and you've made that progress. So that final boss should be difficult, but also should be pretty easy, because you've done this before, and you have weakened them throughout the entire process. Which then leads me to the negative thing about my time with Blasphemous. Like I was just saying, I loved that progress of kind of working my way up and then absolutely smashing those final bosses. And here's the thing. So I got ending A, I guess, is what they're calling it. There is the bad ending, which is if you don't do a bunch of the other stuff. And then there is the true ending, which is locked behind DLC, which is fine, because I got that DLC when I got the, like, Ultimate Edition for, like, $6 or something. But the it's just mean. The DLC, something of Eventide, I think is what it's called, adds, like, a new area. It adds two bosses and, like, a new, like, quest that you have to do pretty early on. And I was loosely following a guide, so I knew what I needed to do to get this to happen. And I was really gunning for the true ending. You know, you have all of the tools to do it, and I was going to do most of, like, I think I finished that game at 97% complete. So there's still a bunch of items I need to find. I know that percentage goes over 100, But I was like close and I was doing pretty well. And then I just started playing the DLC stuff, and it's just fucking mean. Like you go to this new area and all of a sudden enemies like fully leveled up, end game kit and everything, and there's variants of enemies in that area that, you know, in the earlier areas, now I can go and like basically take them out like two, maybe three hits. And I ended up counting it, the like anchor guys who toss their anchors in the air and will like chip damage you in the air, they were taking close to 12 hits to just kill them. And then add on top of that, that whenever they hit you, also like fully like max health and everything, when they hit you, they will take probably a quarter of your life. And it's just mean. And then the same for the bosses. So like I said, I beat the final boss of this game in three goes. And I spent probably close to an hour apiece in the two new bosses that you need to beat to get the true ending, and it was like impossible. Like I was doing pretty well. I had like a couple of good runs against one of them where I was able to get them down to probably just under half, close to like a third life left, and that was like the perfect run. And I just couldn't pull it off. And the thing about the game is that it's really cool. I enjoy all of that, but it really bothers me when games like this lock story progress behind skill checks like that. Like, it's one thing to like, hey, if you can't beat Margit, then like maybe Elden Ring is not for you. But it's a whole other thing when, you know, you've proven yourself to be good enough to make it this far in the game, and then, you know, the skill check is such a higher ceiling to get, you know, the quote unquote true ending. And I have gone back and watched what the true ending is, and I appreciate that there is like basically a post-credit scene that doesn't happen, and like it's a slightly better, like it's the real true positive ending of the game, you know, quote unquote positive. Nothing in this game is positive. But I don't know, it just like, it was this thing where I was on such a heater with this game and everything was going great, and I felt really good about it. And then I came back to fight these last two bosses with like endgame setup, because I thought I could finally do it, and I just couldn't. Like, and I think that if I would have continued to smash my head against it, I probably would have been able to pull it off. But I just don't have the bang my head up against a boss for a couple of hours just to finish it. Bone in my body anymore. Like, there's just not a thing that is fun or enjoyable. Like, learning those patterns is not useful or fun to me, especially when, you know, I could take the easy way out and there are these two bosses that I can just go try. And that's what I ended up doing. I banged my head against these bosses for probably a good hour each. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe what's happening here is that I actually need the thing that they give me when I defeat them to make these last two fights easier. And then I just kind of just moonwalked my way through the last two bosses. Like, okay, well, no, that was just like an especially mean thing, probably meant for like a second run through this game. But I don't know. I don't know what New Game Plus gets you. I imagine it's a Dark Souls New Game Plus where everything's just harder, which is also not my flavor of New Game Plus. But yeah, it was kind of this weird thing where I was so high on the game, and then the Eventide stuff just kind of, it didn't like deflate it all the way, but it certainly was like a somewhat bummer end note for a game that I think is like pretty high up there as one of my favorite games I've played in a long time. Like it was a perfect one of those. I think that I will be chasing the find me the Blasphemous of, like, Blasphemous is now my Metroidvania, you know, like this is my first one that I really liked, and it's the one that kind of is getting me into the genre. Like, I've now downloaded not all the same exact style games, but I've now downloaded Hyper Light Drifter, Dead Cells, and Hollow Knight, all games that I have previously downloaded and have owned for years at this point. And now that I'm kind of in this mood and have found the thing that I like about some of these games, it's time to hop in there and see what's up. Because also, you know, I was never super high on Hollow Knight. I've watched a whole playthrough of it, which was fun. But you know, all this Silksong hype, it's coming for me. So maybe I do finally give it a go. We'll see if that game ever comes out. But yeah, that's going to be today's episode of Point to Point. I am here ready to board the train to work. So, thanks for hanging out with me on this drive. If you feel like the show, share with a friend. The numbers on this show is kind of like steadily ticking up, and that's been great. So if you like a casual morning chat show, just share it with a friend. Maybe they will too. I have been Phil. This is 70% Complete. You can find our stuff at 70%complete.com. And hey, have a nice rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.